Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. I was dreaming when I wrote this. Forgive me if it goes astray.
But when I woke up this morning, could have sworn it was Judgment Day.
It has been a year and a half since Prince died from a fentanyl overdose at the age of 57. He left an indelible imprint on music and on American culture, pushing the boundaries of music and sexuality and influencing countless musicians and fans. One person who had a front row seat to Prince's life and career is Afshin Shahidi. He was Prince's longtime photographer and has a book of his photographs just out. It's called Prince, A Private View. Afshin Shahidi joins us now. And you write about the zone you were in when you were photographing Prince. What was it like?
Well, part of what was exciting shooting Prince was also the challenging part, which was the fact that we had nobody else there. He liked to keep it small and intimate. And so I respected that. And so I didn't have any support, really. So it was just him and I. And there was a little bit of discussion at first. I'd tell him what I was thinking and what I'd like to do, and I would show him a couple of test shots. And he would hit a zone, and it was magical. It wasn't so much that I wanted to stay quiet, but he was in a zone that just worked for him, and he would come, and I didn't have to direct him. He had already picked out, based on what I said the background's going to be or the image, he had already picked out wardrobe that always ended up being perfect. And had done a little bit of makeup and came in, and literally a lot of the portraits in there that you see, I shot maybe two or three images, and then we went on and did the next thing. So,
and just to give people a sense of what a photographer would normally do, how many would you usually shoot if it weren't Prince?
I would probably shoot close to 100.
Wow.
You know, and part of it was he knew what he wanted out of the images. I knew when we had a great image. You know, I had an iconic subject, so it was really difficult to take a bad picture of him. But we didn't need to be redundant. If I had it, I didn't need to do another one the same with a slightly different, you know, pose. So we would take advantage of that time, and you know, I would show it to him. He's like, wow, that's great. And then he would go and put on something completely different, and I'd change the lighting a little bit, and we'd have a new image.
Some of the close-up photos of Prince in your book are posed with his eyes as the focal point. What was it about Prince's eyes that you think were so striking?
His eyes were piercing, and they always seemed to be looking through you and to know so much about you. And I remember even before I was photographing him or even knew him, but as a child growing up, seeing images of him and watching Purple Rain and stuff, there was always something about his eyes that seemed special. And so when I got to photograph him, they became the focal point. And they are really of a lot of subjects. I mean, you see a lot in people's eyes, and that's where you focus your camera. You know, when someone's eyes are out of focus, that's typically when a photograph looks out of focus. So it's always the focal point anyway. But his gaze was just so piercing that it kind of drew me to it.
You also write about the fact that when Prince walks into a room, the energy shifts. I wonder if that has to do with his eyes, but it also just his presence, it sounds like.
I think mostly his presence. And like I said, in there you could be a CEO of a company, or I've seen Tom Cruise and Jennifer Lopez in a room, and the second Prince walks in, they're, you know, they're little fans. So it's pretty interesting to watch. I mean, obviously he has kept an aura of mystery around himself. You didn't see Prince out all that often, so when you did see him, it was a special moment.
You have some pictures of him walking the streets in different cities around the world, which is an image that we don't really see. What was it like for him? And you took those photos. What was it like to be out in the streets? Did people recognize him everywhere he went?
People didn't recognize him, funny enough, and I think partly because no one expected Prince to be walking. So if anyone even did see him and think he looked familiar, they may have thought, oh, that's a Prince impersonator or someone that really looks like Prince, because it was just so unexpected. Now, my presence and the camera may have tipped it off, but even when I was taking those images, I tried to stay far away from him, so we weren't necessarily connected.
Hmm.
And it was something special for him because he didn't really do it. So when we were in New York City and I asked him to take about a 2-block walk from a hotel to a venue and he agreed, at the end of it, I think he really enjoyed himself because he wasn't mobbed. It was just him and I, no bodyguards. And we got to the venue and he's like, thank you, Afshin, because I don't think that was something that he got to do all that often.
Hmm. What was your favorite shot as you were going through all of these photos of Prince to put this book together?
Hmm. That's hard. I can tell you one shot that I think he really liked is a shot of him that I took when he was shooting the Black Sweat music video. It's a portrait. He has a black hat on, I think a black coat, and he's looking directly into camera. And I think for whatever reason that resonated with him a lot. I think it showed him as the mature artist that he was and he became. One of my favorite photos, again, was one of the images that I had a millisecond to shoot and only two opportunities at. And it's him in London at the Dorchester Hotel. He's standing on a mirrored spiral staircase looking up. And I took two shots, and that was one of them. And that's all the time he gave me because we were running out to, again, go to a venue. I think he had either the sound check or the performance that evening.
Hmm. You also write about the fact that you had many nights, late nights in his hotel room. Maybe he had other people there, and sometimes it was just the two of you. And he would talk about being a Jehovah's Witness. Do you think he was trying to convert you?
I think part of being Jehovah's Witness is converting, is teaching other people about your beliefs. So I was not the only one. And so he did tell me about his beliefs in Jehovah's Witness, but it never felt, and I never felt that it was any pressure. Along with Jehovah's Witness, we talked about a lot of different things. So I think he liked informing people. He liked teaching people. And those were his beliefs at that time. And that's what he was trying to convey. But I was flattered that, you know, that he cared enough about me to want to convert me. You know, when I told him I had my own beliefs, he respected that, and we went on and continued working together with no issues.
Why did you stop working with Prince when you did?
There was a couple things. One, I had moved to Los Angeles. I had three children. A lot of the travel was becoming difficult. I also had a career as a cinematographer, and for quite a while I had kind of pushed it aside because I was doing so much with Prince and traveling so much. So I had decided to be home more. That was part of it. Two, a lot of the photos that I was taking of Prince were ending up on his music club. He had an online presence, and so most of the images were being serviced for that. And when he dismantled the music club, the need for so many images diminished. And then, again, when he would call occasionally, I was not available. I had already been booked. As you may have read in the book, there was not a lot of pre-planning in terms of scheduling.
So right, he would call me up and say, I'm in Panama, come down.
Yeah, exactly. He'd call me the night before, and can you come to Morocco, or can you come to Panama, or wherever it may have been? Can you come to Japan? It was very exciting, and you know, I laughed at the fact that it just became so normal that someone could just call and ask for that, and I'd say sure and get on a plane the next day. But it became more difficult. I should take that back. Not more difficult, but a lot of my priorities, and in terms of having children and wanting to be around, dictated what I decided to do and not to do.
Did you know about his drug addiction?
I was not aware of anything in regards to drugs. In the 20 years that I was with him, I did not see anything.
So what did you think when you heard about his death?
I was devastated. My whole family was. I know the world was. I felt bad for myself because I had lost a friend. I felt horrible for the world because they had lost an icon and an amazing voice that I think would have been really needed today in the political climate that we're in. So I was devastated. In terms of how he passed away, I'm just sad that he's gone. I don't have any strong feelings on it. I know he was in pain from years of heels and dancing and performing for the audiences, for his fans. But really, I made this book to celebrate his life and not his death so much.
So I am not by no means the biggest Prince fan in the world, but I did see him at Madison Square Garden. And the day that he died, I flew to New York and went to a special show that Questlove was doing where he spun Prince all night long. And it was such a sort of bittersweet moment because you were listening to this incredible music and at the same time he had just died. What do you think about the impact that Prince had on people all around the world?
Well, he had an enormous impact. I mean, so many of us, he was kind of the soundtrack of our lives, and we grew up with him. I can tell you personally that fans from all over the world have reached out. Part of the reason I made this book was because they reached out and said, you know, he was such a huge part of my life, and we know you have these images, and please, it'll help us with the healing process and with mourning process. So for me, the book was therapy and hopefully something that helps everyone else out there. But he had an enormous impact, both musically as an artist standing up for his rights and showing other artists how to do that. So I don't know if I could put into words really what an influence he was and what a great loss it is that he's gone.
That's Afshin Shahidi, who is a photographer and cinematographer and author of the new book, Prince, A Private View. Afshin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I enjoyed the conversation.
And you can see a couple of the photos from the book at hereandnow.org.